Well, you know, ministry's hard, and what's supposed to happen is every believer is supposed to serve within the body. That's what's supposed to happen, because we've all got different spiritual gifts. We talked about that last week. But sometimes what you find is this: somebody will start doing some ministry, and before long, they come and they say, I'm burned out. Or we see it happen a lot of times with somebody. They'll say, would you mind taking the, you know, fifth grade boys? Or would you mind taking the junior high class? Or would you mind teaching this class? And people do it. And then after a period of time, not very long time, they'll say, I'm burned out already. And, you know, and what we realize is that when you're exercising your gifts, you're not going to burn out. And so what we find is happening is a lot of people, so oftentimes believers, are not serving in the areas that they are gifted. And so one of the goals that we have as we study this whole thing, especially God giving us gifts, is that you would discover, you'd find out what your gifts are. And I don't know where they are. There was supposed to be a stack of, did any of y'all pick up the things last week on spiritual gifts inventory? Some of you did. There was supposed to be some more right here. I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, we'll get you some more if you want a spiritual gifts inventory. Because the goal is this, that you would know what your gifts are and that you would use your gifts as you serve within the body. And when that happens, you're not going to burn out. When that happens, you're going to love doing what you're doing. When that happens, you're going to be saying, man, I bet everybody wishes they could do this. And that's what happens. So we'll talk about it as we get a little further into it. But let's get a brief review. And the first question is, what are spiritual gifts? And we said the spiritual gifts, the definition, they're divine abilities. In other words, abilities given by God, and they're special so that believers can serve within the body of Christ. And we have to be careful, because some people are mixed up on, they'll think, what's your spiritual gift? Joy. Okay, no, that's fruit of the Spirit. That's not a spiritual gift. Or some people will say, my spiritual gift is working with teenagers. No, that's not a spiritual gift. When you go through the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, that's the places you find four places in the Bible that give you list of spiritual gifts. And so what you really want to do is look at those gifts, especially take our spiritual gift inventory, look at it and say, okay, here are the gifts. What is me? What do I do? What do I like? And all of those kind of things. The second thing is that we talked about the giving of the gifts. When do we get them? Well, the truth is, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got your spiritual gift or gifts right then. Even if you might have been 6 or 7 years old, right then, being born again as a new creation in Christ as a child of God, God gave you spiritual gifts. Now, it may be that certain gifts, let's say gift of teaching, you may have been 7 years old when you trusted Christ. You may not be mature enough or at a point yet where you're going to be able to use that gift. Or there may be times that you use one gift at certain parts of your life and another different gift at different parts. We just don't know how he does it, but you get it the moment you believe. To whom gets it? Every believer. If you're in 1 Corinthians, it says, 1 Corinthians 12 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then down in verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. That means God, the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that. In fact, the next question is, we'll come back to that in a second. A lot of times people say, well, how do we get these gifts? Well, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you get spiritual gifts, and they're given to you by God. In this passage, the emphasis is the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more in just a minute. Let me give you some points to remember. We talked about this last week, but I just want to encourage you. Number one, every believer has at least one gift. Whatever your gift or gifts are, you got at least one. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm not gifted, so I can't really do anything. You can. Number two is you may have more than one gift. Number three, you won't have all the gifts. If you had all the gifts, we wouldn't need the body of Christ, because that's how he fixes it. As we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Paul talks about putting together all the different people with different gifts as the body functions. The gifts are necessary for the body to function, and you cannot lose your gifts. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are with not change of mind. He's not going to take back your spiritual gifts. The third thing is that we talked about, but this one is that by whom, who gives you the gifts? Spiritual gifts are given by the Godhead. In 1 Corinthians 12, he actually says there's a lot of gifts, but the same Lord, there's a lot of, you know, things. And he lists all three members of the Godhead. And so all three members of the Godhead give us spiritual gifts, but 1 Corinthians 12 emphasizes that the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. So that's the emphasis in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the third part here is, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Why would God give to each believer at least one divine ability? And that is to three things. We talked, this is all last week, is why we're going so fast, because it is to accomplish the ministries that God has desired. It is to equip the believers to serve, and it is to glorify God. So your spiritual gift or gifts are there to do the ministries that God wants us to do, that your ministry, your abilities are to equip other believers. Think about it. Ephesians 4, he says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for, what, anybody know the rest? For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. So our spiritual gifts, we interact with each other and it equips the believers. And the ultimate part there is that God gets all the glory. So whenever you use your gift, you bottom line is this. You could say, gee, look at this. I'm really good at helping. Okay, yeah. Who gets the glory? God does, because he's the one that gave you the gift. He's the one that gave you the gift. He's the one that gives you the opportunities. He's the one that puts you there. So whatever your gift or gifts are, he gets all the honor and the glory. That takes us now to this part. And I don't know how long, I'm just looking at this, and I'll put it together, you know, and I'm not sure exactly how long this will be. So if we get out early, fine, we'll just go to the grow groups. But this is important, and that is the discovery of your gifts. How in the world do we know what gifts that you have? Now, you could say, well, I could just take the spiritual gift inventory. Well, that's something we made up. I mean, we made it up, and we used some, you know, it's accurate. In fact, most people who've said that they actually took the spiritual gift inventory and they put down truthful answers, when they get to the end and they add all the numbers up and they look at it, they say, yeah, I think that's me. So it's really a good tool, but there's nothing that's perfect. So how are you going to know what your gift or gifts are so that you can serve? I used to say this, and it's true in one point. I used to say, listen, don't worry about what your gifts are. Just get involved. Just start serving. Just find a place to serve. Get plugged in. You'll get moved around. And that's true. It's really true. But the problem is sometimes people plug into places that they're not gifted. And all of a sudden, after a month or two or three of trying to do something that they're not gifted to do, they either get burned out, they get discouraged, and they say, this isn't working for me. I don't think I'm going to serve. And sometimes they just drop out because it's not what they thought it would be. And so it's important to know what the gifts are. In fact, our goal is that for each of us to discover our gifts and to use them in the body. That's why we're even talking about it now. When we're talking about all that God's given to us, well, one of the things he's given to us is spiritual gifts. So it's very important. So I'm looking out at a bunch of people in this room that every one of you are gifted, and every one of you need to be plugged in somewhere based on your giftedness. And if you're not, you're missing out. I put a little warning thing, and I'm not sure how it's going to come across, but warning is sometimes believers get so sidetracked trying to figure out their gifts. In other words, all they can think about is wonder what my gift is. I start off by saying, get involved. Just start doing stuff. Some things you'll say, I don't like this. Some things you'll say, oh, I love this. You know, I mean, so that's one thing. The second thing, warning, is sometimes people say, I've got the gift of teaching, so I don't do anything else. Can you help us set up chairs? I have the gift of teaching. I don't set up chairs. I mean, I've had people say that, oh, I have the gift of administration, so I'm not going to be there to do this. Or we got to be ready to do what? About anything. But so be real careful when you find out what your gift is and you say, I have the gift of mercy, so I don't do anything else, really. No, you can do everything, but you're going to be really gifted and really successful in certain ministries. Yeah.
I'm probably getting you off track, but could you go to verse 10 and just kind of take that verse and help me there?
Well, can you tell me where in verse 10 of which chapter in the Bible? Okay. Okay, I got you. Okay, so, okay. If you look, before you go to verse 10, you have to look at the chapter. And so at the beginning of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he says, now concerning spiritual, it literally doesn't say gifts, but he's talking about spiritual gifts. And he didn't want them to be unaware because the church in Corinth, and this is before the canon of the scripture was completed, so there are a lot of different spiritual gifts. In fact, we think when you look into the scripture, there are at least 18 different spiritual gifts listed in those four places. But some of those, as I look at the scripture and I see what it said, I think some of those were temporary gifts that were used until the completion of the canon. So in Corinth, the canon wasn't completed yet, and there are all kinds of spiritual gifts. So he starts off saying, I don't want you to be unaware of these things. I want you to know about gifts. He says in verse 4, there's a lot of different gifts. There's a lot of different ministries. There's a lot of different effects, but God gives to each one. And then he goes down in verse, for 8, he says, somebody got the word of wisdom. Somebody's got the word of knowledge. Somebody's got the same spirit gives the healing. And then he says, and you're talking about in 10, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, another distinguish of spirits. Is that what you're talking about? Is that the verse? They're just different spiritual gifts. One was, before the canon of scripture was completed, there was a person who had the gift of prophecy is getting direct revelation from God. Prophecy didn't always mean something future, but it meant new revelation from God. I don't think there are any prophets today, because I don't think we're getting new revelation from God because we have the scripture. So all he's saying in that little passage is that somebody does miracles sometimes, somebody does this, somebody does different tongues, somebody has an interpretation. Now, let's just be honest. There are people in our communities that do not, they believe all the gifts are for today, including prophet and apostle, and they sometimes call their pastor an apostle, that he's been set apart by Jesus Christ, getting new revelation. Some people call them prophets. Some people say they have the gift of tongues. Some people say they have the gift. And all I tell people is, I say, if you think you got those gifts, just make sure you exercise them according to the scripture. Okay, that's all I say about that. I don't think all the gifts are for today. I think when the canon of scripture was completed, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, there's going to be an end of some of these things. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, he says there will be an end of, and he lists, some are going to die away. When I was a child, I used to think as a child. I did away childish things. He says, verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails, but their gift of prophecies, they're going to be done away with. If their gift of tongues, they will cease. If there's the gift of knowledge, it will be done away with. And so I think in 1 Corinthians 13, the doing away with that happened when there was the completion of the scripture. So I don't want to get controversial aspect of it, because sometimes there's people who say, well, I think all the gifts are for today. And I say, if you think they're all for today, that's fine. Just make sure you exercise them according to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We all know, if you've ever studied the scriptures, if you studied 1 Corinthians, one of the problems in the Corinthian church is people were using the gift of tongues, and they were causing all disruptions through the whole thing. And Paul comes in and says, I would rather speak 5 words that people can understand than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, by the way, a tongue is a language. So these people were speaking languages. They weren't just making noise. And today, when people say, I have the gift of tongues, sometimes I say to them, what language do you have? And the purpose of the gift of tongues was to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ in a language you didn't even know. I don't really see it being used that way today, so that's why I'm a little bit skeptical. But my point is this. I think there are 9 permanent gifts. I think there were 9 temporary gifts. Somebody wants to say they're all here. That's fine. But make sure you exercise all the gifts according to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because he really gets into the point. He actually says, I'd rather have somebody proclaim the word of God than to speak in any kind of language. Okay, does that help?
This is always the passage that they go to.
Yeah, well, it's true that if you look in the scripture, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, he's listed a lot of the gifts there. In Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, he doesn't list all the gifts in that way. And when you get to the bottom line at the completion of the scripture, then you have to decide, did some of these gifts end? And if you go back to church history and you read the writings of the people who wrote right after the turn of the first century, some of these gifts were never mentioned at all because they think they were gone. So anyway, it's kind of a controversial thing. Thanks for bringing that up, Bunny. But anyway, it's really true. Yeah, I think you do what you can. So I look at spiritual gifts, and if you take our spiritual gift inventory, we list 9 spiritual gifts there because the other 9, I think, were temporary. You had a gift of knowledge, which meant that sometimes a person could get information from God, not like prophecy, but to understand a particular thing. If you didn't have the scripture, I mean, think, did God reveal himself to Abraham? How did he do it? Did Abraham have written revelation? No. Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to Joseph. It wasn't until Moses, 1440-something B.C., that the scripture was actually written down, that you actually had scripture. So did God reveal himself to Adam and Eve and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And he did. Well, how did he do that? And what did he do? Does he do that today? Do we see the same thing? No. Did they have the completed scripture? No. At the time of Jesus Christ, they had the completed Old Testament called the Tanakh. By 40 years or 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, basically, maybe 60 years, you had the entire New Testament completed. And so that's how I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it as they were temporary gifts and they were permanent gifts. And I think the temporary gifts were used until the canon of Scripture. So that's how I look at it. Okay, does that help, Bonita? Okay, because, I mean, there's controversy. You'll find people in this town that holds to a whole different view of spiritual gifts. But the problem is they only emphasize a couple of the spiritual gifts and not all of them. And so that's where I see some issues. Okay, so that is a warning. Spiritual gift inventory, I put that up, so I don't know why we don't have them here. I thought I had them. I don't know why they're not out here, but we had them last week. Where's Brian? Brian, do you know where they are? Okay, you don't either. Okay, we'll get them for you, and I'll have them set out the next couple of weeks anyway, or you can come by the office and get one. Or if you have a printer, the spiritual gift inventory is on the website, and you can go to it and print it off if you want to. All right, now, so when we get down to it, gifts are exercised. So how do you know? How do you know what gifts we have? I think three things that kind of stand out. One is you'll have the desire to do the gift. There will be results, and others will see it. That's the big three. I think that'll happen. And let me show you what I mean. So first of all, when you start serving, and let's say you're gifted. Let's just use one that's out front that everybody can see. Let's say you have the gift of teaching. Let's say you have it. And somehow you like to study, and so you get an opportunity to teach, and all of a sudden you teach and you go, I loved it. Gosh, I wish I could do it again. I love studying. I love putting this together. And so you get to do it more. Well, and you teach, and sometimes people come up to you and say, it's the first time I've ever seen that. Thank you for showing that to me. I never put that together. And then people will see it, and they'll say, you know, I think you got the gift of teaching. And you go, really? You think so? And that's what happens. And if you got the gift of helps, people will say, you're always there. You're always helping. If you got the gift of administration, you're the person that all of a sudden everybody looks to you and they say, what are we going to do? And you say, well, let's do these three things and let's put this together. And people will say, well, I'm glad you got that, because you got the gift of administration. You got the gift of leadership. You got the gift of mercy. Everybody else is walking by going, ugh. And you're going, let me help. How can I help you? So so you will want to do it. Others will see it, I think, and I think there'll be results. It'll be effective. So that's one of the things you want to do. Now, and just because of time, because Bonita took us way off track and all of that stuff, well, let's look at our last part, and that's using our spiritual gifts. How do we use the gifts within the body? Well, first thing is this: make yourself available. Romans 12 says, offer your life. So you say to God, God, I want to be available. Come, whatever. If there may be some ministries in the church that you've always said, gosh, I'd like to help there. Well, then go help. Go up to them and say, y'all need any more help on that front? Do you need more help here? Do you need some more help here? How can I help here? What can I do? And make yourself available to say, I'm ready to do anything. I want to be involved. I want to help. So do that. Make yourself available. That's the Romans 12 where you're willing to be used. The second is understand the gifts so that you'll know what they are. Because if you say, I got the gift of teenagers, no, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that to be funny, because I have people come to me all the time. Not necessarily here, but I've had people come up and say, I have the spiritual gift of working with teenagers. I said, can you show me that one in the Bible? No, what they're saying is they love young people, and they love connecting with them, and whether they got the gift of teaching or whether they got the helps or whatever, they want to be connected with those people, and that's okay with that. But what are your gifts as you're connected with them? How can you serve? And then the third thing is be active in the work. Be active. Prof. Hendricks said, you know, one time he was young and he had just started growing, and a person came up to him and said, you need to teach. And he said, oh, I don't have to get to teaching. And they said, have you ever taught? He went, no. He said, then how can you say you don't have to get to teaching? The first time I'd never taught. In fact, I'd never really stood up in front of people, and I don't know if I'd really wanted to stand up in front of people. And Knapp came to me and said, because I guess he just saw me studying, he saw me digging, he saw me understanding things. He said, you need to teach one of our classes. It's sort of like an SBI, but it was on Sunday nights. And he said, you need to teach a basic Christianity class. That's basically the 412, okay, but just different. And I said, oh, Nap, I've never taught. He said, you can teach. I said, no, I can't. He said, how do you know? How do you know you can't teach? I went, I don't know, I never taught. He said, you give it a shot. I remember standing up in front of the people going, well, it's so good to see everyone. I was scared to death. But that's what, the longer, 5 minutes into that thing, 10 minutes into that thing, and I'm going, okay, let's look over at this passage. All of a sudden, I loved it. You know, I loved it, right? And same thing, be active. Just get there and say, let me do it. Be available. Be available to serve the Lord as you serve others in the body of Christ. So, whatever your gifts are. So let me give you application because we got to quit, okay? First of all, let's have a biblical understanding of spiritual gifts. They're divine abilities given by God. They're not working with teenagers. There's not joy. It's not the gift of joy. It is certain spiritual gifts. Look at the list. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Go look at those places or go get our spiritual gift inventory and look at it and see what the gifts that are there and say, okay, I look, here's the gifts. What do I think is me? What do I, you know, just from your life? And then the second thing is, may we discover our gifts. And so take the spiritual gift inventory. Take opportunities to serve. If you said, you know, I think maybe I got the gift of teaching. And you get in there and you try to teach and it doesn't go very well and it doesn't go very well. And you may say, you know, I don't think this is for me. First of all, I don't really enjoy putting it together. And every time I get up there, it doesn't come out very good. And we all know, listen, have you been to churches where the pastor didn't have the gift of teaching? And what do you do while he's up there? I mean, he's not that he's not supposed to be in ministry, but that's not his area of giftedness. I tell you, I'll tell people all the time, if you're going to be and you want to be the senior pastor and you want to be in a place of responsibility and you want to be the guy on Sunday morning, you better have the gift of teaching. Because if not, it'll drive everybody crazy. The old joke is that they were going to hire this pastor, and they were sitting around, and they were trying to decide whether to give him a 2 weeks vacation or 3 weeks vacation. And a little wise lady said, well, let's leave him 3 weeks vacation, because if he's really good, he deserves it. If he's really bad, we deserve it, you know. So that's that one. Okay, so take the opportunities. Listen to what others tell you, because they sometimes see it before you do. They say, you know, you're always there. You're always there at the right time. And you go, really? Yeah, you always are. And then number three, let's use our spiritual gifts, service in the body, offer our lives, look for opportunities to serve, and be faithful. So this is the next week we're going to something else. So I challenge you that if you don't know your gifts, get spiritual gift inventory, start plugging in, seeing where you can serve, seeing what energizes you, how it works, because you will absolutely love it. And so plug in, your life will never be the same. Yeah. Susie, yeah.
Could you give us those references?
1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. You got to write faster than that, Susie. I mean, okay. And 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. That's four places that actually list spiritual gifts. Now, there's also spiritual gifts talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. But 1 Corinthians 12 is where he has a list of them, and also 14. But I always just say 1 Corinthians 12.